A hot blue marlin bite off the coast of Fort Lauderdale. Yellowfin tunas and bluefins. It's totally insane. And someone in the audience raises the bar and whacks a blue marlin. All this week on the Real Guy Podcast.
Clear the airways. The Lunker Dog is on the air.
Are you ready? This is the Real Guy Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Real Guy Podcast. Your favorite Captain Norm's in the house today. Norm, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's great to be in the studio here with you.
Well, look at here. I got a text that friggin' made my week.
What's that?
This guy texts me. He says, "Got that sucker. I've been listening to you and Norm talking on the podcast about raising blue marlin. Raised one on a pink and purple mole craft.
All right.
Switched the pinks. Then it switched to a pink squid chain.
Yep.
Fell back, ate the blue and white Islander with the value into it, and bingo, hooked up on a 30 wide, got my first blue marlin."
Ah, right.
Dude.
Do you mean somebody actually listened to our stuff and went out there and dinged one?
Norm?
Hey.
Pat yourself on the back for raising the bar for
I'm
a change.
I'm telling you, there are people out there that are raising the bar. I am so excited. I'm so happy. And congratulations to that podcast listener.
Hold on. I got to get his name. Daniel Earl or Early. And he's not the only one. I heard the fishing's been absolutely off the chain. And what was it? Two podcasts ago, you were complaining and bitching and moaning on how bad it was.
It was.
And just like that.
And listen, let me tell you something. February was an atrocious month. And then in the very end of February, it was like spring turned on, and it was like somebody threw a switch, and all the blackfin tunas started showing up, and some of the mahi-mahi started showing up, and lo and behold, the blue marlins are showing up. There were four blue marlins caught this week in South Florida alone that I know of.
Right.
Okay, that I know of, that people sent me, hey, look at this. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about people sending me pictures. I've got pictures of four blue marlins. Okay, I mean, that's you know, and these are guys, most of those, now, granted, most of those guys were catching those fish kite fishing, but that one guy, he stepped his game up, he pulled a real spread.
Now, the difference between the guy from the podcast that did it is he raised the bar on himself.
Yes, he did.
The other guys took advantage of the crazy fishery they have, where every once in a while, just totally turns on. And even a guy flying a kite with friggin' pilchards on it can get a friggin' blue marlin, a bluefin tuna, yellowfin tuna, wahoos, and the list goes on.
Dude.
But the fact remains.
He was ready. He went out there and he raised
adjustment.
The bar.
He made his adjustment. He put out the squid chain for a teaser,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
He put out the mole craft behind the squid chain.
Yep.
And then he had the old faithful.
Ballyhoo and Islander.
Bingo. Which is exactly
the way
we drew it up on the podcast.
Yep. We're going to do it again this Sunday. You, me, and TJ are going to go out there. We're going to drag a spread. And, you know, I told a couple of people about the blue marlins, and it's amazing. And these are real guys, but it's amazing how so many people just go, "Oh, well, that was an incidental catch.
Lucky.
Those are fantasy fish. Oh, yeah, those guys got lucky." Okay, well, you know what? They're only fantasy fish if you're not fishing for them.
Right.
Okay, did you see that post that I made? I did a post last week of a blue marlin chasing a bunch of mahi.
I did see that.
And I said, this is why mahi will always be bycatch. You should have seen the vitriol and the hatred that I got
from the mahi mania people
from the mahi heads
mahi manias,
okay, the mahi maniacs. Okay, I mean, it was unbelievable. And it's just like, oh, you know, listen, I'm not disparaging you from wanting to catch mahi mahi. Everybody loves to catch them, but don't tell me that is your main target.
Norm,
okay,
you're talking to people.
Come on,
you're talking to people dress like they're catch.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You can only take them so seriously. The mahi people buy clothes to match the mahi colors.
Yeah.
They're mahi
They're mahi guys. They're mahi
dudes.
They're mahi dudes.
Okay.
So when a blue marlin eats a mahi, it almost...
Do they have to take their pants off?
They're, like, offended. Offended.
Really?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. But, all right, going back to be real, like, seriously about raising the bar and everything, do you think it's a coincidence that Drew and I go out the other day to catch a blackfin in the afternoon?
Yeah.
We catch a couple small blackfins, yeah, and we catch a couple small mahis.
Yeah.
And now they're catching bluefins and blue marlin on the reef.
How about that? How about Alex catching two? Catching two now, bluefin tunas down in Isla Mirada. And you know what? I was down there with Alex a couple of weeks ago. I was on the Kalex. We were spreading Alan Starr's ashes. And I looked down, and there's a 130 standing in the, you know, standing there. And he's got mackerel baits in the cooler ready to go. Now, how many other guys who are fishing down there out of Bud and Mary's and Whale Harbor and Postcard and all these other marinas, how many of those other guys are doing that? Very few, if any.
Yeah, hardly.
Okay,
no
maybe one or two, that's about it.
No
okay,
one.
And he catches a bluefin tuna, and everybody goes, "Holy crap!" Well. Yeah, because he was ready for them, and he knew that they were coming.
It was a targeted species.
Okay. Those same bluefins, I got word they swam past the end of Juneau Pier a couple of days later. A big school of bluefins, like 500-pounders, swam past the end of Juneau Pier.
Nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me. When you can catch tuna, bonito, and mahi a mile off the shore... Why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly.
And I tell you right now, those tunas were as shallow as 40 feet.
Oh, way less. Like 15 or 20 feet.
No, I'm talking about the bait. I'm talking about the tunas we were catching.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of times when you're fishing for those blackfins, you want to be out, you know, start around 250 to 450, mm-hmm, and they'll be out there on the edge a little bit or off the edge. These fish... Small bonitos, small blackfin tunas, all up in 30, 40 feet of water.
Well, because they're in there eating ballyhoos. Right now, this is the time of the year where there's a lot of bait on the reef, and they go in there. I mean, listen, we're the only ones that have to constantly remind everybody to figure it out. You talk to some of these old timers like Gary Krebs, the bait guy. Remember when? Okay, he used to tell me they used to catch blackfin tunas in 30 feet of water late in the afternoon in the springtime.
Yeah.
Now, how many of you guys are out there right now looking for blackfins in the afternoon in 30 feet of water with live ballyhoos? Nobody.
Right.
Okay. You know, and does that mean that they're not there? They probably are, but nobody's looking for them.
So what do you think about my sexy tuna feathers that I had to hand make?
Man, I kind of tell you what, those will get the job done. And it's amazing. I mean, you can go to some places. There are some places like, you know, some of these, you really have to go to the Keys to find stuff like that, because you're not going to find those little ones like that anywhere around here. But those will get the job done. Those will definitely get the job done.
Why is it that these fish will turn on and turn off to certain jigs, certain flies, certain lures, and it'll be just the slightest little difference in the way it looks to us? But for whatever reason, it'll work on a given situation. Like I was telling you about, your flies. Norm brings over a box of flies, and he has in the flies there this chartreuse clouser. And I was using this chartreuse clouser last summer for snook fishing.
Yeah.
And one particular day, I totally smoked them on that clouser.
Right.
And I got like five.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to start using this clouser all the time. I put that clouser in front of snook for like another 3 days and never get another strike on it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
The craziest shit ever. Now, those tuna jigs that I made up, I had to hand make those to make them the exact size, weight, and colors that I wanted, because the company that used to make those now doesn't make them anymore. And I tried all sorts of other little tuna jigs, these little rubber ones, these flashy ones that are kind of the same size, and none of them worked.
I know a guy who used to pull crappie jigs for him because he needed something that small to get them to eat. The only problem with those crappie jigs is those hooks are so...
Right. Those little gold hooks they come with.
Those little hooks, you know, you lose, you know, 9 out of 10 fish.
Right. Well, hey, Fishing's good off the reef right now.
It's very good.
It should get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna pull a spread on Sunday. We're going to go out there. We're going to give it a shot. We got a front coming through, so it's probably going to turn things off for a day or so, as it always seems to do when the you know, the I don't care what fish, whether it's tarpon or snooks or, you know, offshore, it doesn't really matter. It seems like whenever the weather pattern becomes stabilized is when the fish turn on, and that's usually about the second to third day after the front, and I think that's what we're going to get on Sunday. And we're not going to go far. We're going to stay very close. All these blue marlins that were caught in this last week were caught on the reef.
Right. They were in shallow.
They were in shallow. So we're not going to have to go. And that's the thing. You know, all these guys, they fish according to what Florida Sportsman tells them to do. Okay. So I'm going to go out there in 1,500 feet in March. Oh, very good. You're going to go out there and see nothing. Okay. Well, you went right past the fish. You know, 20 minutes. We're going to have a fucking spread in 20 minutes. We're going to start at the sea buoy, and we're going to move north, and we're going to go to the north.
Might as well. They're getting blue marlin on kites off the reef. So
exactly.
Don't have to go any further.
Nope.
And if you do remember correctly, when we took John Tedder out with us,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to go out to 1,100.
We did.
And he wanted to fish at 600.
Yep. Yes, he did.
You know what I mean?
And he was saying it all day long, and the only bite we got was in 600, and we didn't... We think that might have been one because the hole in the water was big enough. But the other thing is there's also some big yellowfins around. I've got a few little secrets that I'm going to reveal to you on Sunday. But I've got something special planned for us for Sunday. There's been some big yellowfins around. The Mucho K got a big one, and that's a drift boat. The Mucho K got a big one on the reef. There was another guy that I know that was kite fishing with herring, which tells me it was somewhere down Miami way, and he had a double of something on, and it spooled both of his reels. They could have been bluefins. They were probably yellowfins, but they could have been bluefins as well. I mean, this is our springtime fishing. We're in the thick of it. You're catching big tarpons right now, too.
Off the chain.
Okay. I mean, you're catching some big slobs.
Off the chain right now. I don't know. I fished maybe 7 out of the last 9 days.
Yeah.
And I think one trip we went like 0 for like 7. Other than that, we've been putting multiple big fish next to the boat pretty much every trip.
Are they transitioning to mullet, or are they still on shrimp? Because we're still seeing a lot of shrimp coming through the marina.
Well, the tide junkies are still crushing them on the shrimps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if that's your style, then yeah, go ahead. Yeah. But the spring mullet run has started.
Oh, yeah.
And the mullets are thick.
Yeah.
And I'm fishing mullets, and I really didn't switch over to shrimp but maybe half a dozen trips right. this year.
Yeah.
And trust me when I tell you, you will catch fish more consecutively, more consistently, and bigger using the old hog leg.
Yeah.
And
they eat the mullet, as John Tedder likes to say. But, you know, I got to tell you something.
I mean, they eat. It doesn't matter if you're fishing for giant snooks,
no.
tarpon, sailfish, tuna, marlin.
Yeah.
They all love the hog leg.
We caught John Tedder and I had a trip with one of my repeat clients. And we went out there and caught him a big giant sailfish. And we saw 4 fish that day, and we caught one.
I rolled into RJ Boyle's shop about a month ago.
Yeah.
And what were they rigging up? They were rigging up big split tail mullets.
Yeah.
They were deep dropping with.
Yeah.
Even the swordfish at freaking 1,800 feet on the bottom wants the old hog leg.
I've like I said, I've got a little something for us for Sunday that I think you're going to really, really like. And I wouldn't be surprised if it gets bit. By the way, I've got this. Yeah, I brought this. I've been spending some money on fly gear in the off season, quote unquote off season. It's, you know, we're a long ways from pre-pod, but I've been just totally getting psyched out for beach fishing, for tarpon fishing, for all this stuff. I want to get into some peacock bass fishing right now. The peacocks are doing pretty good, and I've got this 7-weight fly rod that I just put a new Rio outbound short on. Thing fires a fly like a bullet. I mean, I added 30 feet to my cast, and I'm not a great caster. I'm consistently throwing 70 feet. I can consistently throw 70 feet. And when was the last time you had to throw a fly 70 feet? You never do.
Hardly ever.
Okay, 30, 40 feet and you're done. Okay, so I'm really excited about my new fly rod. I went down to Randy Tao's shop, and quite frankly, I wasn't looking to buy a fly rod. But I had destroyed that TFO, my 7-weight, because I was so disgusted with it. And I took the line. I bought the new.
Just leave out the TFO. Just say you were disgusted with the 7-weight.
I was disgusted with. I was disgusted with it. I know you're a TFO guy, and you know what? It might not even been the rod. It was probably the line that was old.
I just don't want to discourage the new guy.
No,
the TFO is probably the best brand to get a new guy started.
Absolutely.
And that's what I mean.
Listen, I have several TFOs. Right. So I'm not bashing TFOs.
I got some of the rods from TFO that I really like.
Yeah.
That suit my purpose.
Yeah.
And then I got some that I don't like as much. And I'm figuring out which ones are the best for what I do.
Listen, when the guy walks up to the plate and he strikes out and he smashes his bat in two over his knee, does it mean he's not going to pick up that same Louisville slugger again the next time he's at bat? Of course he is. Okay? I'm not bashing TFO. I just happened to be upset that particular day, so I destroyed this rod. So
and it gives you a reason and to throw Randy's name around.
And so I went down to Randy's shop, and I really wasn't I to be honest with you, I really wasn't even looking for a fly rod. I wasn't. The thought hadn't entered my mind. I was looking for something else. And you can't walk into Randy's shop. The Marauder Outfitters, yes, we're giving you a plug, Randy, in Tavernier. It's an amazing shop. And you cannot, if you are a red-blooded American fly fisherman or woman, you cannot walk into that shop and not buy something. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot walk into Randy's shop and walk out with nothing. You would have to be the coldest bastard in the whole world, okay? And at first, I started, and this is what happened. I went in there, and I bought a T-shirt. I said hello to Randy. I wanted to talk to him a little bit about getting him on the podcast. We're going to do that, okay? He said yes. He's looking forward to it. He knows the podcast, and he's excited to do it. I bought something else. I don't remember what it was. And then I saw the 7-weight. And to my credit, I did walk out. I got in the truck, but I couldn't start it. I walked back into the fly shop and I bought the 7-weight.
You had to do it.
I had to do it. I couldn't. I would not feel good about myself.
All right, so you go and you buy a 7-weight from like the world's finest fucking rod builder. And then what? You were telling me about going to get some fresh line and this line that you're casting. So, now you're turning into a real fly fucking guy.
I kind of am, okay? I kind of am. I mean, I had to pull out all my shit. But, you know, I picked up the new rod. I put my old Finor number one on it that my father gave me many moons ago.
They're loving you on that fly fish group.
And so I was throwing it, and I could only throw it like maybe 40 feet. And I'm thinking, this it can't be the rod. So I'm checking my technique. My technique is just okay, you know. But I started doing some research into all these different fly lines because, I mean, the scientific technology for all this crap is just way beyond my understanding. So I'm joining all these groups, and everybody's, like, loving on this particular line. So I'm YouTubing the piss out of everything. I'm doing everything I can. So I go out and I buy this line, and sure enough, I add 30 feet to my cast.
All right, now what line is this?
It's a Rio Outbound Short. Okay.
Rio Outbound Short.
Okay. And I've got two of them now. I've got one on my 9-weight. It's got an intermediate tip. And I've got one on my 7-weight. And it's a floater. And these are just amazing lines. And they're basically shooting heads is what they are. And they have this, some kind of special proprietary coating that makes them shoot. And it's no bullshit. You will actually add distance to your cast.
What's the name of the group on Facebook that we joined? Saltwater Fly Fishing?
Well, there's Saltwater Fly Fishing and there's Florida Saltwater Fly Fishing.
And we joined them both.
Yeah.
These fly guys love this kind of talk.
Oh, they're total gearheads.
You make a post with a nice fish and you get the old pat on the back, nice fish or whatever.
Yeah.
But ask a gear question. something about an eye or a line or
a rod,
a thread,
yeah,
or a fly tying material,
yeah,
and they're all over it.
And you got guys that are posting up, I only go fishing maybe two or three times a year, and I was thinking about buying a 7, a 9, 11, and a 12 weight for my two trips.
And Randy would say, absolutely.
Oh, okay. And let me just tell you something. Randy, you know, I walked into Bass Pro Shops. I walked into their fly department, okay, and I picked up an Orvis Helios. And that rod is a $1,000 rod.
My own.
$1,000, okay? And it's a rack rod. I went down to Randy's shop, and I paid half that much money and got a 7-weight.
Congratulations.
Okay. And Randy's, and now, mind you, Randy's stuff, his bigger stuff is more expensive, but, and he's not cheap, but at the same time, you are getting a top quality rod from the best rod wrapper that there is.
Right.
Is there anybody that can even argue that there's anyone that builds rods better than Randy Tao?
No, there's no such thing as better than Randy.
I think even Sean would tell you that he's the best.
Dude, I mean, how many rods that went through Tommy's place, Pompano Rod and Reel?
Yeah, Tommy, that, the TNR.
That Randy made.
Yeah.
And TNR, well, that's where Randy made.
Yeah, that's where it came up from.
And a lot of that, you know, they of course, helped Randy along, but Randy also helped them along a good bit.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Quality is quality.
Absolutely.
And it's no secret. People from Broward County perform at a high level.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Oh, from the pier guys to the offshore guys.
To Mike Irvin.
To the fly guys, to the bass guys. We have the best. We probably have more.
All
we
sports.
We probably have more custom rods per capita in Broward County than anywhere else in the country.
Absolutely, positively, the most competition, the best stuff, and like I said, people from Broward, people from South Florida perform at a very high level.
Absolutely.
Ask Kelly Slater.
Absolutely.
Right. Anyway.
All right.
Dude, glad the fishing picked up.
Yep.
That
we're
February
go
report was such a freaking kick to the balls when everything yep. sucked.
And
but
March
this,
has been good.
This is your month, guys. Put out the teaser. Put out the mold craft behind the teaser. And put out the blue and white ballyhoo with a friggin' Islander.
Yeah.
Catch yourself a blue marlin. And if you strike out,
Do it again.
Get a bycatch.
No, go do it again.
Well, get
go
a bycatch.
Do it again. You'll get your bycatch anyway.
Do a like a 15-pound mahi, make the wife happy.
Yeah.
Kids will freaking make it. Just don't buy the clothes.
No.
Don't buy mahi
clothes.
Leave
the mahi shorts on the dock.
If you have a mahi hat that's the same color as the mahi, throw that in the water.
No.
Throw it in the water. Make it part of the weed line.
I have a pair of marlin shorts I'm thinking about wearing.
You got marlin shorts?
Yeah, let's test that theory. I have marlin shorts and a marlin belt.
The only time my shorts maybe like a marlin is when I'm taking a leak.
All right. With that one, let's end this podcast. Run that dog.
Run that dog.